Have you ever wondered how amazing it was for people who were not Jewish, not members of the covenant of Israel, in Jesus' time called Gentiles, to worship the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? That was an amazing thing. That Gentiles would hear and sing the same words that Jesus, a faithful if troublemaking Jew from Galilee, would have sung when he was worshiping in the temple. And here we are, over 2,000 years later, on each and every Sunday, without fail, reciting and sometimes singing the same hymns from the songbook of the Jewish people, sung on various occasions, just like the hymns from our hymnal. For the songbook of the Jewish people was called the Book of Psalms, written in verse, meant to be sung. Some even come with notes for the musicians. They are used throughout Jewish worship. These contain concepts or ideas that were relevant and spoke to every stage and setting of life in the ancient world. And if we were to worship in a Jewish temple or synagogue today, we would hear and recite from the same songbook, the Book of Psalms, that Jesus knew growing up. In the words of Episcopal theologian Paul Van Buren, it's as if we read them over the shoulder of Jesus. We may read them a little differently as Christians, as we see them through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For as it says on the cover of today's bulletin, Jesus lives. And it is through the truth of his resurrected life that the Psalms, reading over his shoulder, as it were, with the lyrical power of the psalmist or songwriter teaching us lessons or clarifying spiritual awarenesses that still resonate. It's as if these songs, written and sung by countless generations of Hebrews and Gentiles before us, still speak to you and me, followers in the way of Jesus Christ. The people of the God of Abraham bequeathed the Psalms to the first century Gentiles, who in turn bequeathed them to us, a 21st century Easter people. Now today is the third Sunday of Easter, and being an Easter people, followers of a living Jesus, the readings we share as a community, like today's Psalm 4, reflect and symbolize our understandings, belief, lessons, and spiritual awarenesses in the good news of Jesus Christ, to act justly and love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. And today's psalm is kind of like a bedtime prayer, and it can help us to find focus in our alone time with the God at the end of every day. It's a short one, and it begins with pleading to the Lord to hear and answer prayers. And it seems to me like the psalmist or songwriter is confident that the Lord will answer because the writer has already received blessing and release in times past. If we look at the psalm for today, it starts out, "Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I am hard-pressed. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." That tells us that the psalm writer has walked in a personal walk with God. You have done these things for me. I ask that you continue to do these things for me. Then the songwriter becomes a prophet, speaking to those who challenged her integrity as a child of God. "You mortals, how long will you dishonor my glory? How long will you worship dumb idols and run after false gods?" It's as if the writer is asking them, "How long will you stay in this place?" God is calling us to live a new vision, a new journey. Then it moves to offer us assurance to ponder silently in our beds rather than speak rashly and later regret it. I'm reminded of the phrase, "Never go to bed angry." To put our trust in the Lord, to have faith that the light of God's face will indeed shine on us again and our hearts will be glad for it. And I love the last verse. "I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. What a comfort before we close our eyes after the end of a long day. No matter what has happened or might happen tomorrow, we may find rest, for our shepherd will keep us safe and watch over us as we sleep. Now, a rabbi in California recently wrote about what he calls the greatest collection of prayers, that which is found in the book of Psalms. And even though they were written anonymously by people who were looking for help while being right smack dab in the middle of life's troubles, the songs are direct and simple and speak right from the heart. And they teach us how to pray. Perhaps prayer, like those in the songbook of Psalms, are a way for us to voice our needs when we are unable to find the right words. And perhaps whenever we gather together in prayer, we're reminded that we're not alone in our struggles. Or whenever we come together in community, having gone through hard times in our own lives, we've gained some hard-earned insight or wisdom that just might be a comfort or source of strength for another. So we give our phone number to someone who has just lost their spouse, saying, "I recently lost my husband. It was hard and is hard, but if you ever need to talk, here's my number. Call me anytime." Offering our painfully earned wisdom and strength to another as a source of courage for them. For even in the midst of death, we are an Easter people. Or it might be as simple as letting an overwhelmed mother know that we'd be happy to distract or occupy her son, who can be quite a handful. Did you hear about the businessman with a briefcase, probably filled with important documents, who recently sat in seat 16C on flight 1850? Did anybody hear about this dad, this man on this flight? The entire flight, he sat next to Kate, an autistic toddler, who called him Daddy and rubbed his arm in his soft jacket because she liked the feel of it. She even introduced him to her mom, saying, "Hi, Daddy, that's my mom." He engaged her in conversation, asked about her turtles, her iPad, never getting annoyed. He just put his papers away and played with a little girl named Kate for the entire flight. This is what Easter people do. We share our strength and patience so that a stressed-out mother sitting in the next seat over knows her daughter is indeed precious in the eyes of a stranger. Now, we don't know anything about the writer of Psalm 4. It might have been a pious Jew looking for hope in times of great pain. But one thing we can take away from its simple words is that it begins and ends as if the songwriter is speaking to a personal friend, reflecting an intimate walk with God, making room for God in an everyday, real-time life. My hope is that we will be Easter people. So I'd like to close with a prayer by the Reverend Carla Miller. So let us pray. Holy One, we come to you today with our fears, our doubts, our faith, and our love. We come with all the mixtures of our lives, knowing that you lovingly extend your wholeness and peace to cover and infuse our hearts in order to dream your dream for this world. We know it is easy to hide behind locked doors, but we also get restless, knowing there is more than false safety. Embolden us, dear God, to live as your Easter people. Dare us to live in the spirit you breathe into our bodies. Move us to act, to share, to be your forgiveness and reconciliation and hope in the biggest and smallest moments of our lives. We pray that your peace will cover the world, all of the unimaginable places of suffering and sickness and terror, and all of the real places of suffering and sickness and terror that we know of in our family and friends and community. We pray that you Easter us up with courage to live into the joy and hope and the mystic reality of resurrection. And may all God's people say,